Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 1, Text 12, I believe it should be. Yeah. Is it? Yeah, 13 is written. Text 30. Translation and commentary. I'm already started class. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Bhavaya.
Bhavaya.
Nashaya. Cha karma karitum shokaya mohaya sada bhayaya sukhaya dukhaya cha deha yogam avyakta dishtam Janata Anga Dhate Bhavaya Nashaya Chakarma Kartum Shokaya Mohaya Sadabhayaya Sukhaya Dukhaya Chadeha Yogam Avyakta dishtam janatanga dhatte Bhavaya nashaya chakarma kartum Shokaya mohaya sadabhayaya Sukhaya dukhaya chadeha yogam Avyakta dishtam janatanga dhatte
Bhavaya nashaya chakarma kartum
Sukhaya mohaya sadabhayaya
Sukhaya mohaya dukhaya chadeha yogam
Sukhaya dukhaya chadeha yogam
Avyakta dishtam janatanga dhatte
Avyakta dishtam janatanga dhatte
Bhavaya nashaya chakarma kartum
Bhavaya nashaya chakarma kartum Sukhaya mohaya sadabhayaya
Sukhaya dukhaya chadeha yogam
Avyakta dishtam janatanga dhatte
Bhavaya nashaya chakarma kartum
Sukhaya mohaya sadabhayaya
Sukhaya dukhaya
Bhavaya for birth. Nashaya for death. Cha also. Karma activity. Karatum to do. Shokaya for bereavement. Mohaya for illusion. Sada always. Bhavaya for fear. Sorry, that's bhayaya. Sukhaya for happiness. Dukhaya for distress. Cha also. Deha yogam. Connection with a material body. Avyakta. By the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dishtam, directed. Janata, the living entities. Anga, opriyavrata. Dhatte, accept. My dear Priyavrata, by the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all living entities accept different types of bodies for birth and death, activity, lamentation, illusion, fear of future dangers, and happiness and distress. Purport, every living entity who has come to this material world has come here for material enjoyment, but according to his own karma activities, he must accept a certain type of body given to him by material nature under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah. Everything is being done by Prakriti, material nature, under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Modern scientists do not know why there are varieties of bodies in 8,400,000 forms. The fact is that all these bodies are ordained for the living entities by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, according to the living entity's desires. He gives the living entities freedom to act as they like, but on the other hand, they must accept a body according to the reactions of their activities. Thus, there are different types of bodies. Some living entities have short durations of life, whereas others live for fantastic durations. Every one of them, however, from Brahma down to the ant, acts according to the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is sitting in everyone's heart, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasya Chaham Hridi Sannivishto, Matasmritik Jnanam Apohanam Cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. It is not a fact, however, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead gives direction to certain living entities in one way and other living entities in another way. The truth is that every living entity has a certain desire, and the Supreme Lord gives him a chance to fulfill it. The best course, therefore, is to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead and act according to his desire. One who does so is liberated. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shreshtam Manumapi Shachiputram Atra Swarupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Urupurim Maturim Goshtavartim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto yasya pratita kripaya shri gurum tam natosmi. Vandeham shri guru shri yatav padakamalam shri gurun vaishnavans cha shri rupam sagarjatam sagarna raghunatan vitantam sajivam sadvaitam savadhutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivashakan Vitamscha Guru Vaishnava Bhagavan Tina Smarani Hoy Bignavinashan anayasehoinijavantitapuran. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lord Brahma is instructing Priyavrata, who is submissive to Brahma in one sense. His general attitude is one of respect and submissiveness, but he doesn't want to accept Brahma's order, which puts him in a difficult situation because he wants to be a good brahmachari, and good brahmacharis have to follow the orders of their guru. But he's in a double dilemma here, because his immediate guru, Narad, he wants to follow the order of that guru, but then the guru of his guru is giving another order. So it becomes a complex dilemma for him. Resolved ultimately by Narad also agreeing to go along with what Manu and Brahma say, although Narad himself is not so much in favor of it. The idea is that from Manu and Brahma's side, that Priyavrata will give up his brahmachari life and get married and take over the family business of managing the universe. Narad's not in favor of it, but he submits. And it's being presented to Priyavrata in a philosophical way. You should understand why we're telling you to do this. It's not just arbitrary or whimsical. We are put in our position by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we have a responsible role, Manu and Brahma are saying. We have a responsible role. One of our responsibilities is to see that the continuation happens, that after one Manu, then another, or within the universe, under the direction of Manu, different responsible people will take their responsibilities. And here it's being told to Priyavrata that this is ordained for you, this is meant for you, this is what you have to do. You have a little independence, but not that much. You've accepted a certain kind of body in a certain kind of situation, and the body in that situation is meant for a certain responsibility which you have to discharge to take over the ruling of the worlds. And Priyavrata didn't want to do it, but he ultimately felt he was duty bound. What is being described here is a deep understanding of how the universe works and how we get different bodies. Roughly, it's given in Bhagavad Gita that we get different bodies according to there are various instructions scattered throughout Bhagavad Gita. What we think of at the time of death, our consciousness of, at the time of death, determines our next body. Yeah. Well-known verse, yang yang vapi smaran bhavam tyajyante kalevaram tam tame vaiti kontaya sada tad bhava bhavitaha. Then we have in the 15th chapter discussion of Shrotram Chakshu Sparshanam Cha Rasanam Granam Eva Cha Adishtayam Manaschaiva Se Vishayanu Paseva Te. We get different bodies with different senses for enjoying the senses, for interacting with the sense objects. urdvanga chanti sattvasto madhye tishtanti rajasaha jaganya guna vritisto adhoga chanti tamasaha. The general idea is given. If we act in sattvagun, we go up. If we act in rajagun, we stay in the middle. If we act in the abominable mode of ignorance, we have to go down. Elsewhere in Bhagavatam, prior to this, in the third canto, the whole working is summarized by Kapiladev. Karmana daiva netrena jantur deho papatteye. According to one's work and under the supervision of daiva, we get different bodies. Daiva can mean the demigods, can mean the Supreme Lord, in this case, or it can mean fate. It's commonly said as fate. That is ordained for everyone. Here we also have the term avyakta dishtam, which roughly corresponds to the English understanding of fate, or in Urdu we have kismat, daiva, dishta. There are different terms, bhagya, maybe subhagya or durbhagya, but it's not just whimsical. There's a conception of luck, that things just, you're just lucky. But it's not exactly like that. Someone who appears to be lucky is lucky because they did something in previous lives so that they become lucky. And someone who appears to have repeated bad luck did something in previous lives to ordain that. Or maybe in this life also. We make bad decisions. We make a bad decision and then you have to go through with that for the rest of your life. You may marry someone who you don't like and you're stuck with that. Of course, in the modern age, you're not, but according to previous culture, you're stuck with who you don't like for the rest of your life. We do something and you can't undo it. In a fit of rage, you might murder someone and they say, oh, what did I do that for? But it's too late. You did it, you can't undo it, and you have to accept the consequences throughout life. Now here, avyakta dishtam, directed by avyakta. Avyakta means not seen, unmanifest. Srila Prabhupada has translated as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is in accord with what Lord Brahma said two verses ago. He's saying it's by Devam, which Prabhupada again translates as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But here he's used the term avyakta dishtam because we don't see the hand of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We can see jnana chakshu through the eye of knowledge, but we don't directly see someone doing it to us. We can see in this world people doing things which affect us. If someone may slap us in the face, it's clear who did it. In most circumstances, if it's done in daylight, it's, or someone may make a decision, the politician, some the government may make a decision to increase taxes, and then there'll be some protest by the common people. There may be. They don't do that so much here in Bengal. There would be for sure. they make a protest, and it's directed at particular politicians, but what's happening to us, so many things, we say, well, it's just my fate. It's under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the point that Lord Brahma is making. And if we see with this vision, then we can live in this world more peacefully. See with the eye of wisdom. Wisdom means applied or realized knowledge applied in life. Or actually wisdom in many cases means we don't apply, we just don't react so much. We remain samatvam yoga uchyate. We remain unmoved by this or by that. We may say that, well, this person is doing so many things which are bad, or that person is doing so many things which are good, and it all affects me and it affects others. But we should understand that, like ourselves, everyone in this material world is playing out the reactions of their previous activities, and it's all interlinked. It's very, very complex. We have in Gita, karanam cha pritak vidham, vividhais cha pritak cheshta, daivang chaivatra panchamam. What are the factors in action? Why was it that such and such happened? What are the factors? There's the situation itself, person who is acting, the instrument, the senses by which they act, the various kinds of endeavors they do, but the ultimate orchestrator of it all is Daiva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's extremely complex. Everything in this world is extremely complex. Why did someone make such a decision? Why did he do that? Psychologists, they may analyze why someone did such and such a thing. And then going deeply into it, why do you do that? You may say, well, he was raised in such a way that he does that, or he had some trauma in his childhood, or he took some drugs which affect... That maybe someone does something under the influence of drugs, but then why do they take the drugs? And how did that situation come about? It's extremely complex. And it's changing at every moment, as a much more complex than a kaleidoscope, which is changing. You just change. It's different at every moment. Because everyone is acting in various situations which are ordained for them by their previous fate. Plus, they have a little bit of independence. And then we make decisions, we say things, we do things, or maybe we don't do anything. We make a decision not to do anything. That's also doing something. To decide not to go to work and just lie down all day, that's also a decision which has an effect. And because everyone is doing something, at every moment, we can't avoid doing something, even if we decide not to do anything, because we can't, we have to do something. Nahi kaschik kshanamapi jatu tishtatya karma krit. We have to do something at every moment, and everything we do changes the ongoing equation. It's always variable. We couldn't work it, even with the best of supercomputers, we couldn't do it, because if you have a complex equation with x, y, z, but the value of x is always changing and the value of y is always changing, and you have to recompute it at every moment, and it all has to blend together because everyone has their own karma, and everyone's karma is interacting with everyone else's, and Krishna is adjusting it at every moment. And ultimately, Krishna is the agent behind it. He makes the situation. He adjusts this. We may adjust the situation, but Krishna ultimately is adjusting everything. And he's, on the one hand, he's giving us the results of our previous activities, and on the other, he's giving us the opportunity to indulge our minute independence. So it's very, very complex. And even how much independence do we have? We're also prompted to act in certain ways according to the kind of consciousness which we have inherited from our, or carried on from our previous life. And that's also changing as we go throughout this life. The truth is that every living entity has a certain desire, and the Supreme Lord gives him a chance to fulfill it. We are always ourselves the cause of our situation, if we can see that. Such and such a person caused a situation, we blame them. But material nature is the cause of the situation in one sense, because situations are created by material nature. Buildings are built and mass worldviews are constructed in a more subtle way. That's all done by material nature. But the living entity within material nature, he contributes to that, because the way the material nature operates is also, it's not just material nature acting blindly, but under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for the sake of facilitating the desires of the living being. We have, in the beginning of the seventh chapter, when Krishna tells Arjuna that, now I will tell you Jnana and Vijnana, which in this context Srila Prabhupada renders as knowledge of matter and knowledge of spirit. And then Krishna says, what is this prakriti? Prakrite kriyamanani, Srila Prabhupada has quoted this. Gunai karmani sarvashaha. Material nature is orchestrating everything. All our activities are orchestrated by material nature. And what is that material nature? That is Krishna's energy. Bhumirapanalo vayu kangmano buddhireva cha ahankara iti yang me binna prakriti ashtadha. And then the living beings, they're also Krishna's energy. Aparaya mitastvanyang prakriti vidhi me param jiva bhutang mahabaho yayedam dharyate jagat. The living beings are sustaining the universe. Krishna sustains the universe, but for the sake of the living beings, and he orchestrates material nature. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunte prakriti jan gunan karanam guna sangosya sadasad yoni janmasu. We're stuck in material nature. We're living beings situated in material nature, and we have to enjoy or suffer the results of our pious or sinful activities. We have independence, but even that is orchestrated by material nature. How? Under the supervision of the Supreme Lord. So it's all very, very complex. If anyone wants to study psychology, I think it's a very, very difficult job, because to understand what people do and how they're doing it, we can make some general ideas, but very, very difficult to understand why people think what they do. You can say in general their influence. In general, you can say it's almost pathetic to see how people are so easily influenced, how fashions change. Just like A few years ago, it started to become a fashion for young men to have beards here in India. Virat Kohli, I think he started that, or he got it from someone. And then all the young men have to wear beards. And in ISKCON also, it became young men, if you're really, really a good candidate for one of those young girls on the devotional shadi list, then you got to have a beard. And if you have some tattoos, it's better still. And if you work out at the gym and have big muscles, all the better. So it becomes a fashion. People follow. They don't think so much. Why should I have a beard? And then, or a few years ago also, we saw young men started to have hairstyles. And there's one kind of hairstyle, looks like a cake sitting on top of your head. And then everyone started to have it. Why? Well, everyone else, they don't really think very much. And that's why it's easy to influence. Easy to influence others. So to some extent, we can understand psychology. And advertisers are expert in understanding psychology to some extent. Successful politicians are good at influencing people to vote for them or to follow them. Successful, and then after some time the people turn against them, or circumstances may turn against them. But to understand fully, very, very difficult. We should understand that everything is going on by the desire of Krishna. We find again and again in Srila Prabhupada's books, he describes these complex workings of material nature and the mind, and he brings it to the simple point, as he does here at the end of this purport. The best course, therefore, is to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead and act according to His desire. Through the Bhagavatam and Gita, we can analyze the workings of material nature. We can get some understanding, but it always comes to the same point, that we should surrender to Krishna and act according to His desire. One who does so is liberated. Instead of trying to work out how the extremely complex knot, how to untie it, the more you try to untie it, the more it gets tangled. You think, and it looks like you're getting it untangled, but then we find actually it's becoming more tangled. Or even if you untangle a little bit, it's still such a huge knot we can't untangle it. So, what should we do? Surrender to Krishna. Or as stated in the 15th chapter of Gita, we should take the Asanga Shastra, we should take the weapon of detachment and cut the knot. That may cut it. Detachment may cut it. Detachment from this world may cut the knot to this world. But ultimately we have to become attached to Krishna, because if we become detached from this world, that doesn't necessarily mean we're out of this world. We have to go to Krishna. Okay, that's a good summary. We have to go to Krishna. So I'll finish there, unless there are any questions or comments. One other thing I would say, what deep insight into the workings of the material world we get from studying Srila Prabhupada's books.
Although the karma is a very complex phenomenon, you explained it nicely, how it is complex.
How is it complex?
And you explained it in your class today.
Oh, I see.
I had a question. Purusha Sukha
Dukha. Well, I touched on it, but to understand how it's complex, it's very, very difficult. Kim karma, kim akarma iti,
kavyo petra mohita.
Even to understand the concepts about it,
yeah,
is very difficult.
That's why I had a question, Maharaj. Karya karana kartutve ప్రకృతిర్ హేతురుచ్యతే పురుష సుఖ దుఃఖాన భోక్తృత్వే హేతురుచ్యతే ఇట్ సేస్. సో
వాట్ వాస్ ది వర్స్ అగైన్ విచ్ వన్
కార్య కారణ కర్తృత్వే ప్రకృతిర్ హేతురుచ్యతే.
ఓ దట్స్ వెరీ రిలెవెంట్ టు దిస్
yes maharaj
so very, yeah, yeah yeah that's very relevant to
so,
what I said
maharaj are you
the material nature is making all the arrangements
yes
but the living being is responsible
correct
for our happiness and distress within those arrangements
yes maharaj
yeah
so I
let's just say that so I, well you said it okay
yeah. maharaj that's I used to yeah. think that the first line and second line of this verse they are like mutually exclusive. I used to think like that, but as I gradually learnt about karma, I understood that they are very interrelated.
Yeah.
Because the prakriti creates old age, disease, death, and the results of the previous actions.
And the whole situation.
Yeah.
Of the whole organization of bhumirapa nalova, yeah. all these things.
Yeah. So because of that, the purusha sukha dukkhanam bhoktrutve. So purusha is saying purusha is the cause of the sukha dukkha, he says. But I had a question at this point of time, like if I put a sudden brake in my goods train, it stops after a while, you know, that's because of the speed of the train. Similarly, the world conditioning,
if you sneeze, a universe might be destroyed in a galaxy far away. Right, butterfly effect. That's what they say.
Yes, Maharaj. Similarly, the Purusha, the living entity, he also sees the old conditionings giving a you know push effect, due to which his choices also become colored by the previous conditionings.
Mm.
So, in that sense, how is he totally responsible?
Taking that example, there's also something we call instinct. I instinctively put my foot on the brake. A child ran out in front when I was driving on the road and I instinctively put my foot on the brake. Means we don't think about it. We just do it. Gets more complex. Did we choose to do it or not? Go on.
So, now the Lord on one hand, is like Super Soul, is giving support to the Jiva. In Amatta Smritir Jnanam Apohanam, he is supplying. And the material nature is creating a complex situation
under the direction of the Supreme Lord also.
Yeah. And the living entity, you know, he often he has both these choices, either return to Super Soul or return to material nature for enjoyment, you know. So the living entity, while making his decision apart from his own will, and there are many things, many factors which influence his choice. Like you were telling yesterday, you were saying that
we choose a course of life, and then after that our decisions are influenced by that. Just like, for instance, if I choose, and again it comes very much to worldview. I was talking about that last night also. We can change from, as Srila Prabhupada said, you can change from being a Muslim to a Christian, or a Christian to a Hindu. And then all the choices that you make after that are very much influenced by an original choice. And then, but many people don't really make life decisions. Why are most Muslims Muslims? The vast majority of Muslims are Muslims because they're born in a Muslim family. Why are most Hindus Hindus? Because they're born in a Hindu family. Not because they read Bhagavad Gita as it is and were convinced. So a lot of the decisions we make are according to the worldview that we accept. So when we say we're exercising our minute independence and we're making decisions, how much are we actually making a decision from the position of the independence of the jiva? Because we've already surrendered our independence to a certain worldview, and the imam issues a fatwa and we have to do what he says. So we surrender our independence to that. So like I said, it's very complex. I'm not going to give a complete answer because it's difficult to say, but although we talk a lot, well, definitely in America more than any other country and in the Western countries in general, they talk a lot about the freedom of the individual to have your own decisions. But to a large extent, most people actually don't want that. It's too troublesome to have to make decisions all the time and to actually think about something. Thinking's hard work. If you really, writing a software program, that's one kind of thinking which is hard work. But actually thinking about philosophical issues, what should I do? Is it right or it's wrong? Not only is it hard work, but it can be very difficult to come to a conclusion. A man is standing on a bridge, overlooking a road underneath it, a big fat man. Should you push him off, which will kill him? No. But if you see there's a bus coming on the road underneath, and the bus driver can't see in the semi-darkness that there's a big hole in the road made by the workers, and he's going to fall in the bus and everyone in the bus is going to die. And does it become ethical to push the man off the bridge and then the bus will stop and one man will die and everyone else will be saved? These are the kind of moral dilemmas. Mahabharata is full of it. Dharma Sankat. What is the right thing to do in a certain situation? Makes you think. We're supposed to go to a guru or to brahmanas to find out. To astrologers, you can, but many times you don't have the choice. I see someone is running with a knife. Looks like he's going to attack a group of children. Should I intervene and try to stop him or not? Is it a good idea or not? You may say, well, yeah, it is a good idea, but maybe not, because if I'm not capable of intervening, then I'll just get killed also. Many times the police, they say, if you see someone, don't intervene, because that happened with a devotee a few years ago. He just saw someone attacking someone else with a knife, and he intervened, and he was seriously cut up and injured, and I don't know if he survived or not. So this making decisions, what to do? We may have a split second to decide. In a battle, you have a split second to decide what to do. There are arrows coming at you from all sides. Do you duck or jump out of the way or counteract them with other arrows? You don't have time to sit and measure the trajectory and the speed and put it all into a computer and work it out. So daivam chaivatra panchamam, the Supreme Lord dictates ultimately, and we may say it was good luck. He survived. You ask any doctor, an experienced doctor, they have so many cases of people who come to the hospital, a hopeless case, and they survive. And someone comes in just with some minor ailment and then they're dead. Just seems to be a minor ailment and then they just die. Even to study it materially is very complex. What to speak of the motivation behind it all? So what's the answer? Again, all we can say is that it is very difficult to understand and say. What Krishna told Arjuna, if you tell it to anyone who doesn't know the script of Bhagavad Gita, you'll see that you'll think that Arjuna was right and Krishna was wrong. But the Bhagavad Gita has become a guideline for crores of people through the generations to live a good life. So it may be counterintuitive also.
Thank you, Maharaj. That was very well.
It's just some more thoughts.
Very helpful, Maharaj. Maharaj, these days I go to America 3 months in a year I go. I wanted to know from you, Prabhupada had a very unique style of presenting the philosophy that all of you, Prabhupada disciples, had a change in worldview within a very short time, you know, like a rapid change in worldview. His Holiness Sridhar Maharaj said, he just read the book Sri Ishopanishad, and next day he joined, he said.
Many cases like that.
Maharaj, I wanted to know how a person's worldview can be changed in a short period of time to bring him to Krishna.
That was a very special time. That was ordained by Krishna. In this book I've just written called The Mood and Mission of Srila Prabhupada, there's a whole section called Divine Serendipity. You know what serendipity means? It means unexpected good luck. The hand of God was there. It was a time when many young people were ready to try out new things. Many people were looking for spiritual alternatives. Krishna put so many, Srila Prabhupada said that Krishna put so many people who were ready for Krishna consciousness, who would normally take birth in India, such people, he put them in the West. So that's one factor. There may be various other factors also. It doesn't happen much nowadays that people just change overnight. But it can also. And in India also we see people, they read Srila Prabhupada's books and they just change. They may not leave their job and leave their home and join immediately, but they may just stop on the spot eating meat and take up Krishna consciousness seriously.
Maharaj, in your preaching, apart from the Shravanam, which is very much insisted in the scriptures, what other parameters you apply in bringing about a change of worldview in an individual, in your prayer?
Well, what is there? There's Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. Prasad is very important. Association with devotees, it's the same thing. Bring people in contact with Krishna. And let Krishna work his magic. We can be instruments. That's all we can do. And then we have to pray to Krishna. You see, the hand of Krishna was there also. Srila Prabhupada was trying in India for so many years with no less sincerity and endeavor than when he went to America. When he first went to America with full sincerity, full endeavor, there came a point where Krishna allowed things to unfold. He could have given up at any point. After Jhansi, probably anyone would have given up. But he didn't. And Krishna eventually reciprocated.
Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam Maharaj. Today you preached about Canto 5, Chapter 1, Sloka 13, Prabhuji. My doubt or suggestion, humble suggestion, is that is it possible for us to declare that you are going to discuss about this particular sloka today so that people can read it in advance, study the purport and come with their doubts and clarify their doubts?
This is a general question, not about me speaking on this verse today. It's generally there, if you see the verses, one verse a day is given, so if you want to tune in, you can find out and read it in advance.
Yeah, that's what I want to say, Prabhuji. And I also have a humble submission, Prabhuji. I have compiled a dictionary collecting important words from Prabhupada purports. so that it facilitates the people to understand the Prabhupada purpose easily. So can I humbly request you to take a look at it? Because once you leave this temple hall, I would not have access to meet you.
But better you send it to me.
Yeah.
By email or whatever.
Email or WhatsApp.
Because I won't have time to look at it.
I'll email
to
you,
it
Prabhuji.
Carefully before I leave today.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Okay, I'll take one more question and then finish. Whoever gets the mic first.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who is speaking?
Maharaj, this is a general question not related to the class, but
okay.
It's the you question reeling in
question
my...
question related to the class?
Reeling in
okay.
My...
Okay. General question you can ask later to
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Reply. Yeah.
Thank you so much for the class, Maharaj. So my question was regarding, you talked about two things, minute independence and we being the cause of our actions that you were telling. So this seems little contradictory to me. At one point we have so much minute independence and on other
side... Well, so much minute independence is contradictory.
So less. Sorry, very less independence or minute independence. So, and at the other end, we are all responsible for what we are. We have the responsibility in which situation we are put and how do we act. So responsibility and minute independence, doesn't they contradict each other? That was my question.
Why not? If you have independence, whether it's minute or vast, with independence comes responsibility. Independence means you can choose, and with choice comes responsibility. You may not believe it, but it sounds pretty logical to me.
Like the extent of responsibility is much greater than the extent of independence we have.
No, you have the choice to act in such and such a way, and a result will come from that. The minute independence is we're restricted by the kind of body we have. In this body I can't fly in the sky like a bird can. And I have minute independence, I can't create universes like Krishna can. But I have enough independence to choose whether to commit good activities or bad activities. Minute doesn't mean practically non-existent. It's definitely there. Okay, we'll finish there. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Is that Bhakti Gosvami Maharaj ki?